Hey, welcome in to the latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Wildcat Mike, and look at old Big Blue Shade over here. What's up, buddy? Hey, buddy, what's going on? Oh, I'll tell you, man, feels like football right around the corner. We got media days are out.
Yeah.
Shout out to Big Blue Shane over here. He's working his big blue, you know what's off. He's making graphics out of here.
Hello, snap.
For SEC media days. So anything surprise you, Shane, about the attendees list for the SEC?
I mean, I don't think we're surprised that Hardy's not in here with Mizzou. But that was one that kind of stood out to me. Also, I do anyway, Mike, it's quarterbacks, right? Yep. When a team doesn't bring a quarterback, I think that's kind of a sign too. So, and a lot of these schools dealing with some competition right now. So I guess I'm not overly surprised, but, those are just a few things that stood out, but there'll be some familiar faces that are returning, and it's always good to have a kicker running around as well, Mike. keep Cole Kublik happy, you know? He likes to have a little – I can't wait. And it's Auburn of all schools. I love it. I can't wait.
Yeah, well, I mean, shout out Alex McPherson. He's had some battles there, so yeah. Great to see his story. They would have had a fit if they didn't bring back Arch, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, could you imagine John Mateer and Arch not here for this thing? No, are you surprised the lack of quarterbacks in this grouping? It just seems like that's a shoe-in a lot of times. And for those that are listening, I'll just kind of go through. Alabama's not bringing one. Arkansas's not bringing one. Florida's not bringing one. Who else was there?
Tennessee. LSU.
Yeah, LSU doesn't have one.
No Austin Simmons is kind of surprising.
Yeah, no Austin Simmons there. And other than that.
Vanderbilt. No, that doesn't surprise me at all, Shane, because what do all those have in common? Competitions. Yeah. I mean, you ain't going to just bring – because all you're going to get asked is, hey, how's it, you know, are you the starter? Are you the starter? Are you the starter? Are you the backup? How's the competition? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't think they've ever brought a backup to media days.
No, that's probably a good point. But, you know, we just did a wonderful quarterback rankings. SEC Mike did his rankings, not mine. And just going through them, I felt like this was a deeper quarterback league than it has been in years past. So I don't know, maybe just not seeing them in the top three mix. It was a little alarming.
Well, they're bringing the seven established guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how I look at it.
Yeah, they're bringing the guys that know exactly what to say to dummies like me and you.
Yeah, so we're getting fired up for that. Anything else? How did you enjoy your time at Fanboy? Let me just say this real quick. Shane, shout out Cousin Jacob. That's why we're doing Kentucky. He drove down with the family, Shane, all the way from Lexington. He was like, where's Cousin Shane? I mean, that's all he wanted to meet was Cousin Shane, but he's like, I'll settle for Cousin Mike. But you got to do a Kentucky preview, so that's why we got Kentucky for Cousin Jacob and his little baby girl there. He gave me the baby to take pictures with.
Dude, I've never been. I mean, when we were younger, I talked about this on other shows. We've been to Comic-Con in San Diego, but I was a young kid. I don't even really remember it that well. This was on a different level, and I want to give a shout out to Tyler McDaniel. He's the one that ultimately set this up for us. He said, hey, I'm going to be working this event. Give me a shout or give the Comic-Con a shout out and we'll get you in here. And I tell you what, man, dude, I can't wait to go next year. In fact, I told Mike, I said, we've definitely got to dress up, right? So maybe we'll let the cousins vote on what Cousin Shane will dress as. Not a furry, though. I don't want
to
do that.
True or false, Shane? I tried to get you to dress up for this one.
You did. But I honestly, I didn't realize just – it was quite
– And I was dressed up. You know, I mean, like you just got to embrace the nerdness, you know?
We got – was it Shia LaBeouf on one side? They're trying. He got people trying to wrangle him in, trying to keep him between the buoys. And then you go on the other side, and it was a wild, wild scene. And if you've never got a chance to do it, you should do it. If you look for something to do, this thing travels around. It's not just in Knoxville, Tennessee, but one of the coolest events I've ever been to.
Yeah, and shout out your nephew. I don't know if he wants to be identified, so I won't say his name.
Yeah, Shane, Parker. Yeah.
Parker. But, you know, as soon as you guys pulled up, you asked me a question about the event, and I said, do I look like I know? And I had on Spider-Man shirt and glasses and a hat. He's like, you look exactly like someone. I was like, I'm getting trolled by a teenager. He got me dead to rights there.
Yeah. But it's funny because we stopped somewhere at a gas station, and there was two or three and that walked in, and we're like, they're going. Definitely they're going. And then Mike pulls up. I think they had the same shirt on. I was like, yeah. Oh, he's definitely going. But it was great, man. And it was also great to see Brian down there at Tennessee Legend Distillery. They had a booth. And I feel like this is what we're going to do next year is maybe hang out at the booth. I haven't talked to Brian about this, but it's happening. So it was a cool location. It was great to see him. Got some wonderful vanilla. This they can't keep this on the shelf, man. I'm surprised. I probably even shouldn't show that. People are breaking my house trying to steal my vanilla. It is a hot commodity right now. And if you are up in the Smoky Mountains, be sure to see our friends over at Tennessee Legend Distillery and get your bottle, and you will thank me later. You want to be the life of the party? We'll have all the fun hooch. That's what I say. So, and if you can't get to Tennessee, get to your local package store. I know there's a lot of cousins say, hey, we need this in our package store. And they're reaching out to Tennessee Legend and have it shipped down there. So be sure to do that. It would help the family grow.
Yeah. And I know they got some good bourbon up in Kentucky, Shane, but they would love some of that Tennessee Legend.
Oh, so yeah.
Let's go to the bourbon capital of the world, Shane. Kentucky. Dive into last season, just briefly. I mean, it was last year. Everybody's gone. You know what? But we went 5-7, 2-6 in the conference. Rough year. That Ole Miss game, I mean, that was a toss-up, right? Probably should have won that one. When you lose to South Carolina by 22 in a year where they can't even – I think it was the only conference game Carolina won last year. That kind of outlines what kind of season it was. Lost a heartbreaker to Texas in overtime. Probably should have won that one too. But, hey, even in our down year, Shane, when we win five games, we still whoop Florida's ass. How about that? 38-7. We owed Florida these days. And then, of course, Vanderbilt and Louisville were just disasters, and they turned around and fired old Stoops right after it, which, personally, I think was a long time coming, Shane.
Yeah, I mean, it was. The dogs are excited that Stoops is gone too, man. And I was kind of right there with him. It was time. You know, and we talk about, it felt like it came up every single year, how long Stoops has been here. He's the longest tenured coach. And I feel like we hit our ceiling. So it was time for some fresh blood. And let's not forget about all the good times, because he did give us some good times up there. But I think it's time for a new Kentucky football.
Let's not forget the good times.
Yeah, I mean, let's come on. There was a couple. Wasn't there a 10-win season in there somewhere? You know?
Yeah. So here we got the recent program history, Shane. And again, I mean, what stands out to me is a lot of red in recent years. And you're right. They had a couple 10-win seasons, 2018. Mm-hmm. But this also caught my attention, Shane. They had the number 38 strength of schedule that year. And then the other year, 2021, they had the 32 strength of schedule. Now, a lot of years, they got number 7 strength of schedule last year. The year prior, number 3. A couple of years before that, 2. And these were the bad years. So, again, take with this what you want. But I think the main thing when I'm looking at, this is 2016 to last year, all under Coach Stoops. The offenses were pretty pathetic. A lot of red there. With the outlier being 2021, that was the Liam Cohen, Will Levis year. Offense was pretty good, Shane, and then we had a lot of wins. So why do I bring that up? Because we just hired an offensive wizard. Look at that green, Shane. This is shout out Will Stein, 36 years old, Shane. I didn't realize he was quite that young, but I believe he's the youngest coach in major college football. And certainly the SEC. So he was at Oregon the last 3 years as offensive coordinator. He was at UTSA the one prior. And I know you're not big on the numbers, Shane, but just bear with me here. Offensive points per game. This isn't like a conference ranking. This is a national rankings, Shane. The 4 years Stein's been an offensive coordinator, we've ranked number 11th in points, 4th, 7th, and 12th. So all 4 years, top 12 in the country in points per game. Offensive success rate, 13th, number 1, number 7, number 6. So again, elite, elite, elite when it comes to offensive success rate all 4 years. And this is at multiple schools, UTSA and Oregon. Now, now here's the one caveat. If I can pick anything apart here.
Yeah.
Talent at Oregon, number 10 overall, number 6 overall, number 5 overall the last 3 years. So he's had top 10 talent and top 5 talent last year. And the strength of schedule that he's faced has not been very good. 77th, 52, 34, 25th. So again, he's taking care of business. He's done what he's supposed to do, and not just what he's supposed to do. He has taken that a significant step further. Mm-hmm. But he ain't going to be facing those 77th strength schedule, 52, 34, 25th, not in this conference. So that would be the only thing I would say against him is he's faced weaker competition with elite talent on his side, and he's certainly taking care of business.
But proved that with talent, he can have a pretty damn awesome offense, So,
right.
I don't think Kentucky fans are expecting top five production year one, but man, if we get top 17, top 20, you know what I'm saying? A little life on that side of the football. So, that's what's selling tickets right now, cuz.
Hey, cousin Danny says, we will miss Coach Stoops here in Knoxville.
That's true. That's true, man. Plenty of bourbon behind me because of him.
and here's the thing, Shane. Again, we can pile on Mark Stoops all day.
Yeah.
We probably will on this episode. But one thing I think is going to be fantastic with Kentucky, mm-hmm. No longer are we going to be doing, like last year, 16 to 13, I think, was the score against Texas, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just brutal football to watch. If you win it, yeah, you would have been so happy. But now we're getting, again, it's not even happened yet. But I can already tell you, based on the players they've added, the track record of these coaches, what we're going to be getting, Shane, is like 38-35, 42-45. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like Josh Heupel, Lane Kiffin type, fun, exciting. And if I'm a Kentucky fan, that's the number one thing I'm most fired up. We're going from boring Jeremy Pruitt ball to Josh Heupel ball. That's what we're getting here in Kentucky. So I'd be pretty fired up if I was a Kentucky fan for some entertainment this fall.
No, but nobody likes watching keep away, right? I mean, I hate that type of offense. I hate that primate boxing. How many times you see somebody just dance around for 12? It's like, golly, just punch him already. So, yeah, you ready for some fireworks? You're going to get some with Stein running that thing up there.
Yeah, and again, shout out cousin Jacob, the guy I met at Fanboy, Shane, that I promised I'd do this preview. He said, you know what Stoops was good at? Keeping the game close. But I was like, he's like, how depressing is that? And I was like, yeah, that's
put the way that it on is, a you know? Shirt.
Now again, how about these coordinators? So this is my biggest thing against Will Stein. Okay. And it's really the only thing that I have against him at this point in time. Shout out our offensive coordinator, Joe Sloan here. I'm seeing a lot of red here, Shane, for offense. Mm-hmm. So Joe Sloan was at Louisiana Tech for 2 years. And then LSU the last 2 years. Now, he did coach Jane Daniels, so we got to give him credit for that. But Shane, and points per game under Joe Sloan, his 4 years. National, 88, 72, 55, 117.
Yeah.
Offensive success rate, 101, 85, 40, 112. And it's not like he didn't have to. I know things went sideways quickly for LSU, and there was a lot of injuries. You know, anybody loses their starting quarterback for most of the season, their numbers are going to look pretty bad. But he had a lot of talent to work with.
Yeah.
And these numbers are not impressive. Now every Kentucky fan will say, well, hell, this it ain't his offense. It's Will Stein, which it is. But Will Stein has very publicly said this is going to be the guy, Joe Sloan, that's calling the plays. So I don't know. I'm just not overly thrilled with this guy.
Yeah, maybe a little heavy hand here. You know what I'm saying? I feel I understand where you're coming from. And yes, it's not a sexy hire, but it is a guy that's been around a lot of elite talent, right? And knows what's to be expected to get to that level. So the main thing that I feel like these guys are going to try to do is just raise standards there in Lexington. So, but to take this thing to the next level, I mean, you see it a million times. I feel like you've got to have a little bit of that CEO role where you can take your hands off the reins and, you know, putting them in Joe Sloan's hands right now. I get the, maybe the level of concern that you're talking about.
Now, the defensive coordinator, Jay Bateman, he was at A&M the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. He did such a good job, Shane, that Mike Elko said, I'm taking back the play calling. I kid. But no, that truly happened. But, you know, if you look at North Carolina, he got worse every year statistically. And then again, he got the play calling taken away from A&M. Now, in his defense, he has said, hey, I didn't get to pick my staff at Carolina. Mm-hmm. Will Stein is letting him hire on defense, pick his guys, picking the defensive scheme. And again, this is what I think is genius, Shane. Now, it's easy to sit here and just say it. What Coach Elko does, I think your most favorite thing I say on here, exotic pressures.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what he is going to bring to Kentucky. And what does that mean? Again, Coach Stoops like to play that kind of like bend but don't break. You know, just don't mm-hmm. let anything, no big plays, make them check down, boring ball, right? What does Coach Elko do? Coach Elko says, we're going to give up some big plays. Yeah. We're going to come after your ass. And we're going to blitz. And we're going to blitz. And then guess what, Shane? We're going to blitz some more. So the exotic pressures are coming. And I think that fits like a glove what Will Stein wants. Will Stein wants mm-hmm. explosive plays. He wants high scoring. You can't go, stout defense where you're just playing bend but don't break defense. You've got to go all out.
Yeah.
If you get burned, guess what? We're giving the ball back to our offense. That's what we wanted anyway. Yeah. You know, so we're going to get turnovers, we're going to get sacks, or we're going to give up big plays probably. But that's college football now, where you can surrender a lot of yards. You just don't surrender a lot of touchdowns, and you can win a hell of a lot of games. So I like that angle of it. I think I see what Will Stein's going for here. He's going for that A&M style defense, and clearly it's done really well in College Station the last couple of years.
Yeah, but again, is this his guy? You're right. I always wonder when I see hires like this, it's like, how far down the list was this guy? You know what I'm saying? Did one or two not text you back, and then we're on three? So I do wonder, but I'm kind of with you. If you could get some exotic packages, if you can get some turnovers, if you could force some three and outs, that's exactly what Stein wants. And you may not be able to do it talent to talent in this conference, you know, going toe to toe with these defenses, but schematically you could trip up some of the best with three plays. So I'm very interested to see what it looks like. The main thing, Mike, is it's not what we've been seeing the last 25 seasons, right? You know, let's just get real. This is a totally different football team.
You know what we have seen the last 50 football seasons.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, cuz.
Liquid got in on the action, too. He donated. So, man, they're still flying in. So I'll get to those at the tail end of the show. I don't want this to quickly become a Mizzou show. But we do appreciate you. Mizzou fan number 7. Speaking of that, Shade, returning offensive production for Kentucky. Ooh, pretty far down the list here. Oh. We are dead last in the SEC in offensive returning production. Again, does that really matter? I don't think so.
Making room.
Well, a new scheme, new coaches, all that. So is what it is, Shane. We've returned 1% of our passing, which isn't dead last, by the way, in the SEC. How about that? Rushing yards, 13%. That is dead last in the Southeastern Conference. Receiving yards, 39%. That's 10th. And offensive line, 2%. But it don't matter, Shane. It don't matter because we've loaded up in the portal. How about defensive? This is where we're doing a lot better. 45% of our defensive production from last year is back. That's calculated in tackles, tackles for loss and sacks, and passes defended. So they wanted to keep a lot of the guys back on defense. They have the number 10 returning production in defense in the SEC. Tackles, 43%. That's 13th. With tackles for loss and sacks, 48% back. That's 9th in the Southeastern Conference. And then passes defended, interceptions, 45%. That is 10th in the SEC. So we got a lot to work with on the defensive side of the ball. And that's what's giving me hope that old Jay Bateman will have these guys ready to go this fall.
Yeah, and you know, what I'm hearing too is a lot of these guys that did stick around, you know, a little rejuvenation in that locker room, right? Little youthful experience, and you're going to get to the portal here in a second. I feel like that kind of pulls this class together, so I'm not panicking, right? But out of all of the coaches that made the change, this one probably took the biggest hit of them all.
I think they heard about Arkansas. They heard about these exotic pressures, Shane. They're like, I want to stay for that. I want
to be a part of that.
Yeah, we'll see what this is all about. So, again, they were able to attract quite a bit of talent, Shane, via the transfer portal. I think Shane's doing the On3 transfer portal rankings. Get the hell out of here. Horrible rankings for On3. I believe in 24/7 Sports transfer portal rank. 24/7's got this as the number 10 portal class in the country. On3's got it as the 40th. What? How dare I believe Nick Roush. He works for On3. But this is a loaded transfer class, Shane. 31 transfers incoming, 22 transferred out.
Mm-hmm.
But what's so fascinating about this, now maybe the outlier is Kenny Minchie, the quarterback, and I put him top of the list because, you know, we're putting our faith in him. He's only played 10 games. And you say, well, 10, that's a lot, right?
Yeah.
He only has 200 passing yards, though, and he's never thrown a touchdown. But now he's not throwing an interception either. So, again, he's played mostly in you know, junk time, whatever you want to call it, but largely inexperienced at Notre Dame. But everybody says good things about him. He nearly beat out C.J. Carr, who a lot of people think may win the Heisman this year. So the pedigree is there. But other than Minchie, a lot of these guys, Shane, they come from power conference teams, and they've played a ton of football. So that's what I really like. Like Lance Hurd, the left tackle, he's really good. He's played something like 1,600 snaps in his college career. Uh-huh. He's only allowed 3 sacks. I mean, he is standout. Colton Price from Baylor, he started a ton of games for them. No, I'm going to butcher this. Apologies. Tishabola, I'm sure I butchered that. Ohio State, he played a ton there. I mean, they're spending money, Shane, on the offensive line to protect Kenny Minchie. C.J. Baxter at Texas. Now, he's had a lot of injury issues, but he had 855 rushing yards. He had 197 receiving yards at Texas. We're adding guys like Nick Anderson, who was I don't think he was all SEC because they were in the Big 12, but he was All-American as a freshman. And then he got a bunch of injuries, and he comes with 50 career catches, 904 yards, 12 touchdowns. I mean, just Javonta Barnes, another Oklahoma guy. We're getting guys from SEC, Texas, Ohio State, Florida. I like that because we're wanting these guys to come in and hit the ground running. And it's true there's some injury concern with a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
But if we could keep them healthy, I mean, that's going to dictate how much success we have this season.
I like it. Honestly, I think I was surprised the most how well they hit in the portal. You mentioned Minchie. I feel like what he could do with his arm and legs is something that's perfect for an offense that's trying to get its feet. You know what I'm saying? I like what they addressed up front. I mean, these were top of the board offensive linemen. This isn't typical Kentucky. Let's get you here for a couple of years and try to build something. A lot of these guys, you know, were five-star talents. I remember Hurd when Tennessee landed him. Dude, I could probably pull up 6-7 text messages. Like, can you believe it? You know? So, yeah, you got some dudes. You got some talent here. But you got to put it together, right? You got the pieces, but you got to put it together. And I think for me it was – more about the offensive line, I think, was a surprise. And of course, Minchie. And I wish they would have got a few more pieces around him. But, you know, Nick's a guy like we just haven't seen it. You said Oklahoma, went to LSU, just kind of bounced around. And then Barnes is another one that has potential, but just hasn't came to fruition. So maybe they're able to do it up here in Lexington.
Now, real quick, recruiting. Again, you know, we hire a coach. He's not there for the full cycle. Pretty rough recruiting class. 53 overall, 16th in the SEC. But it's because we were spending most of our time on transfers, Shane. We didn't have time. But they did get the number 14 quarterback, number 29 receiver, number 36 corner. And the current class, Shane?
Yeah.
It is ranked as high as number 11th. It's currently number 22 with 7 four-star commits. And the number 5 quarterback in the country, Shane, committed to them Wildcats. So I'm not doubting old Will Stein when it comes to the recruiting front. He's going to work his ass off to make sure that he's got a lot of talent to work with there in Lexington.
Oh, yeah. This ain't a recruiting school. This is portal school, Mike. You know that.
All right. So let's dive into – now, this was difficult, Shane.
But oh, I say so.
Good luck trying to figure out the depth chart for the Kentucky Wildcats right now with all this massive turnover. But again, you spend the money. I think you're putting these guys in the lineup, so to speak. You know what? So
yeah,
where are we going in terms of ranking? Again, there's no way that I would really, I could honestly tell you, but I'm going to go offensive line number one. Because again, Lance Hurd, I think he's awesome.
Yep.
We got this guy Price from Baylor, 30 starts over at Baylor. The Tegra guy from Ohio State, 29 starts, Shane, for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Again, Olus, 32 games at Alabama. Come on now. We're getting JUCO transfers. I think the offensive line is going to be really good. We might be bringing back that big blue wall up in Lexington. Come on.
The big blue wall. Ain't that it? Yeah. Yeah, just get that old Stoops out of here. We can finally upgrade our offensive line, which honestly has always been kind of their bread and butter. I think of the successful seasons under Stoops, it was because of the big uglies up front. And I would venture to say this may be the best group that I've seen up there in the last 10 years.
Ooh, I don't know if I'd go 10 years, but
10 years.
I'd say back. 5 years.
5 years. Okay.
It's been a down. It ain't a wall anymore, Shane.
If these guys hit, maybe that's it. If they hit their true ceiling, let's say it that way.
Okay. It's the best damn offensive line ever assembled. You know, it's like the steel curtain up there.
Hell yeah.
All right, next, again, we got one returning starter, so it's anyone's best guess. But give me receivers, Shane. Again, I think they're going to produce. DJ Miller was a solid player. Harley Gilmore, these are the returner guys. Nick Anderson, again, we got to keep him healthy. Mm-hmm. And one to keep your eye on, Shane, speaking of Shane, Shane Carr,
yeah,
South Utah, never even heard of that school. 10 touchdowns, over 1,300 yards, 81 receptions. You know, very productive for old Southern Utah, whatever the hell it is. But if Will Stein and company believes in him, then I believe in him. And I listened to Cole Kublik interviewed Will Stein recently, and I listened to that podcast today, and he said he's all about just getting these playmakers the ball. So I think these guys are going to have a really good season.
Yeah, a lot of volume, right? You know, they're talking about this college fantasy football coming out. This is a team that I may be looking at because there's going to be a lot of dink and ducks with this football team, and Shane Carr is a great possession guy. You know, these are guys that have been flirting with 1,000 yards, you know, so I feel like they'll be fine. It's just, you know, out of all the wide receivers that were in the portal, you know, you'd like to have seen one or two of those go to Lexington, man.
Yeah, and shout out Willie Rodriguez, so the one returning starter. So, again, tight end, I think he's going to be in for a really big year, Shane. If you're playing fantasy college football, remember the name Willie Rodriguez, because Will Stein loves to utilize the tight end position. I think he's going to have a career year for old Kentucky. Next, I'll go running backs. Shane, CJ Baxter, former 5-star recruit, mm-hmm, transferred from Texas. Javonta Barnes, he's got over 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns at Oklahoma. I mean, this is I think a really solid 1-2 running back if they can stay healthy here for Kentucky. Again, there's a lot to like about this offense.
Yeah, I mean, if you could go back and you recruited these kids, I think Kentucky would be doing cartwheels, you know, given the fact they got Baxter and Barnes. But these are, again, two guys that just haven't quite put it together. They're close, right? I feel like Baxter especially, but now the pressure's off, you know, individuals. This is going to be a committee, and I think we got some real talent in this running back room, man.
And then so last but not least, again, this is not a critique of the position or anything, but I got to put quarterbacks back there.
Yeah, yeah.
With Minshew's, again, no starts, only 200 yards. And then the guy behind him's got 31 career yards at Marshall. I mean, we're talking ultimate boom or bust.
Mm-hmm.
But everywhere Stein's been, everywhere. And this even goes back to high school. He coached high school for a minute. And they've all been productive. They've all been fantastic. So I have little doubt that Minshew's going to perform well.
Nah, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. But
best Kentucky quarterback in 10 years.
I know, man. Oh, geez. You know, it kind of reminds me of going to the casino, right? You're losing. You just can't get anything. And then you go over to the roulette table and you just, instead of laying it on red or black, you're like, you pick an individual number. You're like, if we're going to get it, if this thing hits, man, we're walking out of here with $1,000. You know, that's kind of what it feels like. We're just taking a chance here. It may work, it may not, but I like the fact that we took that chance.
So you think Goldsteiner Recliner's a gambling man? Is that what I'm saying?
He's the new gambler for the coaches, absolutely.
Kentucky's going for it a lot on fourth down, trust us.
Yeah, we don't even need to get to punters, Mike.
All right, how about defense? So again, a little bit, a lot of transfers here too, but four starters from last year are back as well. So even though there's a lot of transition, Shane,
yeah,
I'm going defensive back. Ty Bryant led the SEC, four interceptions, led the team with tackles in 76. Nichols is a really good player. And then I like Gates from Florida, Castile from Florida. These guys have recruited and played for Jay Bateman, so they know the coach, they know the system. I think the defensive backs will be really good for Kentucky this fall.
Boy, and I think you're going to need them, right? It's not the bend or break, but you know, if you are aggressive with those quote unquote exotic packages, you're going to need some talent on the back half to save your ass a few times. So I think this is the grouping that you want.
But the ass savers back here. Yeah, okay.
That's exactly.
All right. Then how about linebacker Shane Grant Godfrey? He's back. He was a Stoops guy. So again, Stoops did some stuff right on the defensive side of the football. Well, we got Elijah Barnes from Texas. He was a touted recruit. And then one guy to keep your eye on, Shane, Tavian Wallace. He played at Arkansas last year. He was like the highest player I think Arkansas ever signed at linebacker.
Yeah.
Now, of course, everybody got fired there, right? So he goes into the portal. I believe his brother played. In fact, I know he did. His brother played at Kentucky, got to the NFL, was a hell of a player.
Mm-hmm.
So Barnes, Wallace, these are two, I believe they're both redshirt freshmen and or at least, you know, second-year players. I think we've essentially done away with the term redshirt. So talented, a little inexperienced, but talented. I think I like our linebackers here.
I like it. I like the depth too, right? So that's something you're definitely going to need. I always think about these high octane offenses. You want some depth on the defense. So I like that they've got some here with the linebackers, some steady eddies here, if you will. But, you know, if some of these guys take that next step, like Elijah Barnes or something, you know, it could help this defense kind of get back to its glory days.
Because James says this is the best Kentucky team Shane's seen in 10 years.
Hell yeah, James. We're rolling, cuz. Come on.
So that means I put defensive line last. And again, I don't think it's a horrible line by any. I mean, we got two returning starters.
Yeah.
We got a transfer from Purdue that's played a ton for old Barry Odom up there. Got a transfer from LSU. I think we got some quality linemen too. I don't know, Shane, I'm starting to drink that big blue Kool-Aid. How about that?
Come on now. Be careful. Be careful. We're not to predictions going to the playoff? Yet, but, yeah. Has anybody ever done that before? Stein the first guy? So tough schedule up ahead. But defensive line, obviously, concerned a little bit. Getting pressure. You know, how can you have exotic pressures if you don't have pressure? So you're going to need these guys to step up, and we need some dudes to kind of take it to the next level.
Well, I think maybe we've identified the new Indiana, Shane. Oh, Kentucky hates Indiana, so that's they would like nothing more than that, Shane. And if they're going to do it, they're going to need their kicker. He's back. Jacob Kawau, I think is how you say his name. 13 of 17 last year, so solid as a freshman. And then what does everybody in the world do, Shane, when they need a punter? They just go to Australia. Come on. They produce them like no other. So they bring in Murray State transfer Thomas O'Hara. 44.5 yards per punt up there at Murray. We're not that we're going to need a punter, but we got one.
Yeah. I haven't seen this guy, but I hope he's one of those that, like, not afraid to run either. You know what I'm saying? Like one of them crazy Aussies.
All right, so let's break down, Shade, the anonymous coach comments about Kentucky via our buddy Steven Lessing of Athlon Sports. Here's what the coaches said. With the talent base that Will Stein inherited, the only thing I wonder about is the fact that he had more talent than everybody else at Oregon for most of those games. It'll be interesting to see him go from one of the haves to one of the have-nots and how that's going to transition while still not losing your enthusiasm, your connection to the players, and all those kind of things. So, that sounds a little bit like the concerns I had there. And then they continue, I haven't seen a ton of quarterback Kenny Minchie, but I've heard good things about him as an athlete and as a person. He's clearly has legit talent, and those guys are hard to find.
Yeah.
That's what they say about you.
I know. Yeah.
Big a lot of talent. Hard to find.
Hard to find. Yeah, I'm not hard to find. If you can't find me, cuz that's why I was wondering. People were like, hey, I couldn't find you. I'm like, you couldn't find me? Were you even looking?
All right, buddy. So you ready to play a little game I call win, loss, or dose?
Let's do it.
Oh, wait. Well, first, we should always break down the schedule here. So over-under's 4.5, Shane?
Yeah.
125.5 to win the Southeastern Conference and 251 to win the National Chip. Let's see how much of a gambler you are, Shane. Put a fiver on Kentucky to win it all. That's what I say. So we got Youngstown State in the opener at home, Bama at home, at A&M, South Alabama at home, at Carolina, LSU at home, at Oklahoma, Vanderbilt at home. Then we get our only bye at Tennessee, Florida at home, at Mizzou, Louisville at home. What do you think about this gauntlet?
Couldn't you imagine putting 100? I mean, just saying. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but, man, if you put 100 on it, 2.5 milli off Kentucky, I'd love Kentucky forever. Maybe I should do it. Just, you know, so at least after this first game, I can feel like I still got a shot at it. Tough schedule, but I do like the rotation of back and forth. You know, you're not going to have too many. You don't have any road games back to back. So I feel like that's a kind of a in your favor. But, man, rough September, rough October. This is a team that probably could have used a few more cupcakes in the first of the year.
Well, Shane, if I could correct you slightly.
Yeah.
If you put 100 on Kentucky, that would be you'd earn $25,000, not 2.5 million.
Sorry. I just added 2 zeros. That's where I'm at.
But again, hey, that's a pretty cool payday if you ask me. Up.
So let me see this again. So 250,000, what was the odds?
It's 250 to 1.
Oh, 250 to 1. Okay. Yes, sir. See, I saw the 25. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that's how it's listed at a sports book if you go to it.
Yeah, I put $100 and then I calculate my winnings that way.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
$1,000. Oh, now we're talking. 10 grand on this one.
All right, so now we could play a little win, loss, or toss, Shane.
Yeah.
And let me know what you think of my win, loss, or tosser. So I've got two games, Shane. Two games I have listed should be wins. Youngstown State at home and South Alabama at home. Surely you don't disagree with either one of those.
I do not disagree.
So that means I got six toss-ups, Shane. We're about to find out how good of a coach Will Stein is week two, I think. Yeah. I got Bama as a toss-up at home. At Carolina, toss-up. Vanderbilt at home. Florida at home. At Mizzou and Louisville at home. I got six toss-ups. Thoughts on those?
1 second, Mike. Sorry.
I think he's just stunned that I got Alabama's a toss. I mean, he might have keeled over. Either that or he's putting all his money on Kentucky. 25,000 to 1 to win the national championship.
Yeah.
Did you call your bookie to put $100 on Kentucky?
Yeah, I told him to take it off. I was $100 ain't gonna give me shit. We need to get those numbers. Those are rookie numbers. No, your toss is, I think you're a little off here on Alabama, but other than that, I don't have any problems with the rest of the tosses here.
Okay. So then I got four. So you would have Bama as a loss?
Yeah. Yeah, remember, I don't hate Bama. I like you. Yeah, me and Steven up. We're gonna ride or die here.
Okay. So I have four. You have five likely losses at A&M, LSU at home, at Oklahoma, at Tennessee. Do you disagree with any of those?
I do not disagree with any of those.
Hey, shout out to Cousin Derek. He says the waiters love Shane.
It's $2,500. I love how it just doesn't even give you an option anymore. And I feel bad. Don't you? Like, it says 18, 20, and like 50 or something, you know? And you're like, how do you bring that? You know, you want to, but they're all looking at you like, all right, 20? How's that?
All right, let's get into the week by week projections, buddy, for Kentucky. Ain't going to waste the cousins' time on old Youngstown. That's a pick your score type game if I've ever seen one.
Man, this is when they lose their shit, though, right? This is when Kentucky, can you imagine they're up 21-0 in the first quarter? Quarterback's got 125 yards passing. We're just like, we're back. Book it, Atlanta. We're going. So yeah, this is a big win, but it's a cleansing up there in Lexington. So I think it's important that we get a big one here.
Hey, there just he in is. Time for your birthday.
Road time. Showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Steven Up, we appreciate you.
Late Hell yeah. Gift Thank you,
for
cause.
Shane's birthday. Did you have a good birthday?
Had a great birthday. The girls took me out to eat and had an absolute blast. So I appreciate everybody. I appreciate you letting me have the time. I know we were talking about the Sunday quarterback couldn't come out at the best time because Sunday was his birthday, but it was a wild, wild week for sure.
That's what I aim to do, Shane, is just take stuff off your plate, you know?
Thanks, man. That's, yeah.
You work hard enough.
I'm usually taking stuff off the plates. It's nice that you do it every now and then.
So for Steve it up, Shane, week two, Alabama. I know you love Bama. Everything about Alabama.
Yeah.
Even though you, surprised you didn't, I think you went on Feinbaum, said they're going to suck this year. I can't remember what you said. But again, big game.
I didn't think Kalen DeBoer is the number two coach in this conference.
Okay. So we have that circled if we're Kentucky fans. That's the one we're circling, Shane. And have you not learned anything after all that information I just threw at you? Uh-huh. How in the hell can Alabama prepare for this team? Do they know what's coming at them? Because I don't. I don't even think Will Stein knows at this point in time what he's got. So transfers galore, new offense, new defense. Fans are going to be fired up. They're going to sell this game out. Mm-hmm. If they did, I'm sure they're going to probably sell them all out this year because it's damn exciting as Will Stein's offense going to be. But this will be the number one home game of the year. We got the overrated Alabama coming to town. They'll probably be top five because the pollsters are idiots. And Kalen DeBoer does nothing but drops his pants and loses these big-ass games to unranked teams, Shane. And guess what? It may be happening again. Nah, I'm just kidding. Alabama's going to win it, but I think it'll be a competitive ball game.
Is that going to be the storyline? Is that Kentucky played them close or Alabama, you know, is in trouble? It feels like that's kind of what happens with this game, but I don't know, man. This is maybe it's the Mark Stoops in me that thinks about like those times we got excited about Georgia. We're like, hey, this is the year we beat Georgia. Oh my God, you feel it. And then all of a sudden it's like, nah, there's a talent gap here. And I do think that there's a little bit of a talent gap, but the problem is all of the commotion, all the coordinator change, the players change. I mean, it's going to be night and day different. And those mistakes you made with Youngstown, going to be a really exposed in an Alabama top matchup that you could probably be even more competitive if you're playing later in the season. But since it's early, even though it's at home, I think Kentucky takes their first L here.
Interesting. Old, I forgot you were Bam or Shane tonight. But to answer your question, I don't think that'll be the narrative. Of, you know, is Bama okay? Blah blah. I think you say it all the time, Shane. So I think the word's getting out. People listen to Cousin Shane. Uh-huh. You know, this conference is pretty damn deep, and in this NIL era, in this transfer portal era, you could turn a team around overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, LSU's talking playoff or bust. I realize this is the same blueprint now, a little different, right? An established SEC coach, maybe a little bit more money spent and more established players, but how's that any different than Kentucky? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And again, I'm not saying Kentucky's going straight to the playoff, but we can't look at like last year's shitty Kentucky and be like, they don't stand a chance against Alabama. You know what I mean? Like this is completely 180 different. So I think the storyline is going to be like, good God, you could get beat by any team in this this league, especially on the road. I think that'll be the narrative.
Oh yeah, now maybe, and I do think that the bottom of this conference isn't as bottom as it used to be. So any given Saturday, there's going to be some upsets, and wouldn't blow my mind if this was one of them. It's just, I feel like the stars really got to be lined up for you to pull off one against Alabama.
Yeah, I think you nailed something there. The bottom's not as deep, you know, as poor as it's been.
Yeah.
And the top's not as elite.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality.
Yep.
All right, number three, Shane, at A&M. Oh, the Jay Bateman revenge game, I guess you could call it. How good's A&M? Shane thinks they're probably going to win like four or five games, I think he said the other day. So he hates A&M. So obviously Kentucky's going to go down there and whoop her ass, right? No, I don't think so. But again, I think this is a trap type game, I think, for A&M.
Yeah.
Might be overlooking Kentucky. Again, I think this – could you imagine a scenario, Shane, where Marcel Reed struggles and has mm-hmm. a bad half or something, a couple turnovers? Couple missed touchdowns. I basically just summed up the Marcel Reed experience, you know. So if he has one of those games and Minshew's on fire, and I'm gonna say he's got to score five or six touchdowns, but you know, just make the plays when they're there. And I guarantee you, with Will Stein as your coach, there's gonna be plays to be made. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same damn thing with like Josh Heupel, whoever he's got in there, two or three times a half, there's like, good Lord, there's a guy wide open for a touchdown. I think that's going to happen. So, you know, can you connect on those? Can you prevent A&M from connecting on theirs? I think you got a real shot, but I just think I'm really high on A&M. Otherwise, I would pull the upset here.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. I think Kentucky, talk about circled games. You think about the ones that you can get. This could be one of them going down there. Nobody's expecting Kentucky to win. It's like Ole Miss a few years back. Didn't expect that. But, you know, it also feels like it could be one of those games that's probably early in the day, were kind of hee-hawing around, make a few mistakes, and then all of a sudden Kentucky capitalizes, and then they're up 7 points at half, and we're starting to freak out a little bit, you know? So I don't think Kentucky can't take this one to the wire. I just feel like I hate it for Kentucky that it's on the road. And because of College Station, I feel like they come alive second half and barely beat Kentucky.
I feel like Alabama and A&M for Kentucky, if you had your preference, you'd get them late in the year.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to us trying to establish a pro. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That could make the difference here. All right, week four, Shane. We're going to get a win over Bama. South Bama. Come on! 2-2. I think that's every Kentucky fan low bar. You got to go 2-2 at first month.
Really 2-2, and I hate when people talk about it. You know, there's no such thing as a close loss, you know, but it'd be nice not to get blown out too, right? It'd be nice to make some of these games competitive. And if that floor is truly higher than it has been in the past, then a team like Kentucky should be able to handle or at least hang with those football teams. So, but yeah, they don't lose to two Alabama teams. That's their motto up there in Kentucky. So give me a win, 2-2 in September.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What's more likely? 2-0 against the Alabama teams?
Mm-hmm.
Or 0-2?
2-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to hear, Shane, because I think that's the right answer.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I'm not guaranteed it, but I think it's the right answer.
They're going to run out of fireworks for that game.
All right. How about at Carolina, Shane? Again, we're pretty high on Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
We think they could bounce back in a big way, and they very well could, Shane. They very well could. But this has always been a game, Shane, where – Kentucky's held their own.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky's won a lot of these games where South Carolina's been the team that's been picked to win it. There was a lot of reasons Will Muschamp got fired, but one of the big ones was it seemed like he could never beat Kentucky. You know what?
Yeah.
So speaking of coach, may get fired. I think he can start October 3rd, Shane. I think Will Stein goes on the road and steals him one at Carolina. I don't think that's that wild of an upset.
Yeah, there was a moment these guys really hate. I still think they hate each other with the glasses and all that shit talk that Stoops gave. And, yeah, this thing went back and forth for a long time. So I feel like this could be a really, really good game, but it could also be a fork in the road game for these programs. Are we going to improve? Are we going to be better than we have been years past, or is this it? Or is this as good as it gets? And I'm kind of in the same camp with you as an optimistic Wildcat fan. There's no reason we can't go over there and get a win against South Carolina. This could be a fun football game, a lot of points scored, but give me Kentucky pulling off the upset here.
Hope Cousin Brian is not watching. You know what? But I'll tell you what, it's Cousin Travis. We appreciate you. Man of his word. Got to meet Mike in Knoxville. Nice guy. Stuck to his word. Best SEC show in the business. We appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah. Thank you, cuz.
He said his baby listens to us fall asleep every day. So I was like, I don't know if that's a compliment or what, but it sounds like it helps, you know?
Wife does the same thing. I just looked over and she's just knocked out. I thought we were having a good conversation here.
All right. How about week six, Shane, LSU? Now, in years past,
mm-hmm.
Buddy, I'd say you got no shot. You got no shot. Even though Kentucky has had success against Lane Kiffin's offenses.
Yeah.
Again, that was an old coaching staff, though, right? But here, what's LSU going to want to do? They're going to want to go a million miles per hour, go up and down the field. What does Kentucky want to do? Go a million miles per hour, go up and down the field. I think this could be one of the more interesting games. And we know Lane whiffing.
Yeah.
He always whiffs on one, Shane. Oh, God. Emergency podcast. I'd love it to death. But I am going to pick a loss here. But again, if you're beating Carolina and you got some momentum.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm giving you a puncher's chance in this one.
Absolutely. Yeah. I probably shouldn't mention, was it Bluegrass Miracle? But, you know, that was a hell of a game, right? LSU wasn't supposed to win that one, but it came down to the wire. And, yeah, this one could be a sneaky. It's a sneaky game. And given LSU's schedule leading up to this one, this is clearly one you can overlook, especially if Kentucky didn't come out, 4-0. So, I feel like this could be a really good football game. That's what I'm saying. I said about a lot of teams, but I do think that with the weapons that Stein has assembled, it's really just putting it together. Like, I'm trying to be optimistic, right? But I have to be realistic a little bit too and say there's going to be some mistakes made early in the year. And those mistakes get magnified when you're going against a talented football team like LSU Tigers. So could be a really good game, but I do think LSU gets the win here.
I will say this, Shane. I think no lead is safe in this game. Oh. You know, either team could be up by 20 points.
Yeah.
I don't think it's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, how about week 7, Shane? Ooh, now this may be a little different story. Now, I'm higher on Oklahoma than a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's hard to see you having a ton of success against Oklahoma on the road, and particularly that defense. Now, maybe if you force a shootout,
yeah,
I think you could outgun old guns Mateer over here. But I'm gonna roll Oklahoma at home. I think that is probably like a 10-point win.
I feel like if you can get this thing over 20, let's say 51, 52 points, I like Kentucky, right? This is starting to, but for me, the problem is what Kentucky, maybe the biggest question marks I have, Oklahoma, I have no question marks against them, you know? So yeah, it's like strength versus weakness. Being at home, that would be a tough out. I feel like Oklahoma just too big, too physical, going to make Minshew's life miserable. And because of that, I got a loss on the road.
And I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. You know what else I think is fair, Shane?
What's that?
Whooping Vanderbilt's ass.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get him. We got to get him, Shane. And I think that would set up a lot of momentum heading into our bye week. Mm-hmm. Now, again, Vanderbilt whooped our ass last year, but most of those guys are gone. For both teams, really, Vanderbilt and Kentucky. So that doesn't bother me a lick. Stoops is gone. This is when we kind of made the decision to let him go after the debacle that was Vanderbilt last season. I think Kentucky easily beats old Vanderbilt.
Do you want to be the same old Kentucky? I know Kentucky fans don't want it. I know this roster won't want it. I know as sure as hell Stein don't want it. This is a big win and a big momentum swing for Kentucky. Multiple score win here. So I like Kentucky big.
Yeah. All right. Then we get the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks to prepare at Tennessee.
Ooh.
A lot of the same things we said about the LSU game could apply to this one.
Yeah.
It's going to be entertaining. It's going to be exciting. High scoring, high flying, a lot of passes, a lot of running. Might be the first one to 50, Shane, wins this ball game. And I know you're the Tennessee over. I don't want you to get up here and leave the show with this pick. But upset! Oh, Kentucky's going to be upset. Come on, Tennessee's winning that one. Tennessee just has Kentucky's number. You know what?
I know, but that battered ball syndrome sneaks in, right? You just know Tennessee's going to drop one of these stupid games. It's like I felt like that's what we do every year, especially later in the season. You know, you're saying, nah, there's no way we could lose to Kentucky. No way. No way this would be a ball game. But, man, I'm telling you, brother, I feel like Kentucky's got some upsets that they're going to pull off here. And as much as I love all this Kentucky bourbon, there's been plenty of times I've sent Tennessee whiskey up north because my Vols lost. And I think this could be a year. I can't believe I'm saying this, Mike. I think this is a year that Kentucky can do it. Pull off the upset. This is the big one. This is the signature win for Stein. Give me a win for Kentucky.
Wow. At Neyland Stadium?
At Neyland. Did you get that, boys? Fire up the bets.
If that happens,
yeah,
how many days in a row will Nick Roush tag you on Twitter?
Until this time next year, right? until we get the rematch. There's part of me that does worry about Tennessee, right? What happens if there's a couple of like, we know Kentucky's going to lose some games, and Tennessee's probably going to lose some as well, but how many? Like, are we expecting Tennessee to get to a college football player? I'd love to see that, but I'm thinking optimistically, if you're a Kentucky fan, you finally had the firepower. There's been a lot of times we've gone in this matchup, Kentucky just couldn't keep up. Now you're going to be able to do that. And I think that's what kind of gives you that opportunity to pull up. This is an upset, right? I've got to pull off an upset. So, yeah, this is the one I'm pulling.
James says, did Shane say that or did AI Shane say that?
A lot of people think I'm just trying to set up a bourbon bet here, and that's not the case, even though they've been – ghost to me the last couple of years. What are the Kentucky three? So who did they get? Tennessee and who?
They're permanent?
Yeah, they're permanent. Do you remember? It's been a while since we... Yeah.
Uh-uh. Yeah. I'll tell you.
You got to pick off some of these rivalries. You got to make them rivalries, you know? In fact, we don't know. Maybe
they do it the week after, Shane.
Yeah.
When Florida travels to Kentucky, whoop their ass last year. John Summerall returns home.
Yeah.
It was this close, Shane, this close to being Kentucky's head coach a couple years ago when old Stoops flew down to A&M. I don't even know if he flew down there. I think they may have turned the plane around, but I'll tell you, you should have turned the plane around. Florida, Shane, they're getting their ass whooped. Come on, Kentucky owns Florida until further notice. Getting that at home. Maybe if this was in the swamp, I'd feel differently. I think Kentucky beats them.
Man, I'm telling you, there's a handful of teams I feel like are going to have momentum at the tail end of the season, and it's going to be an all-time high leaving Knoxville, but it's going to be even higher with another win under your belt here. Kentucky, I mean, they got a streak going here, brother, so give me a win for Kentucky.
Oh. Okay, how about the next week, Shane? We've had some nice battles with Mizzou over the years.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of lightsabers, we got to see some this weekend.
Yeah, yes, we did. At Missouri, what will Missouri look like? I don't know. I mean, to me, that's a big question. But I'll tell you what, Shane, I think Kentucky, with this offense, is going to have a lot of success against Missouri's defense.
Yeah.
Now, will they be able to prevent Missouri from scoring? I don't know. Another high-flying shootout. And I think all the ones, Shane, that I've said are shootouts or potential shootouts, I'm picking against Kentucky. I'm going to do it again, Shane. Win! Come on, Missouri! I think they could do it, Shane. Come on, Kentucky. Clinch a bowl before the last game of the year.
Yeah.
The Kentucky fans would take it.
And I think it pairs well with Mizzou. What did they look like here at the tail end? Did they get knocked out of college football playoffs, right? Are they reeling a little bit? I don't know. A lot of things could happen. But one of the things I do like is the style of offense that Mizzou is going to run compared to the style of offense that Kentucky's going to run. Brother, it's one of those that if you're not careful, right, you play an old keep away. You bounce around and try to play keep away, and then you're down 14 points, and then you try to speed up. Well, you're right in Stein's wheelhouse. So give me another win for them Kentucky Wildcats here.
Damn. You must have put 100 on Kentucky to win it all. Like,
oh, brother.
That's what that call was.
A lot of people said that. They got mad. How did I told the hot take that all the new coaches that come in – besides the LSU situation, that Stein's going to have the most wins. I'm doubling down right now, Mike. They're going to have the most wins. I'm all in.
I like how you say, well, aside from LSU. Like,
well, I mean, that's not really a new coach, right?
Yeah, it is.
Well, besides LSU.
I think Tennessee is going to win the national championship outside of the other contenders. All right, last game, Louisville, Shane. Oh, rivalry. Can we heat this one up? It's, this one goes in swings.
Yeah.
Louisville dominates it. Kentucky dominates it. We've kind of gone back to Louisville dominating it. You know, that was kind of the biggest thing that Mark Stoops had to get over, and he got over it, and he started dominating their ass. I really like Brom, Shane. I think he's one of the best coaches in the country. I think he's going to be a problem for the foreseeable future as long as he stays there. They've spent a lot of money via the transfer portal. I know everybody is on their knees. Not us, but other people praising Miami. Oh, my God, Miami. Yeah, they had a nice little run. They have a complete Nimrod as a coach. I think my pick would be Louisville to win the ACC, Shane. I think they're that good this year, so I got it as a loss. I think that's asking too much to beat a top 15-ish team year one.
I get it. And last year did us no. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you talk about destroyed. Kentucky got absolutely waxed in that game. But, you know, I mean, they were kind of already getting rid of their coach. Who knows what that locker room looks like. So do I think Louisville can lose this game? Obviously, I do. I feel like Kentucky's a better football team. And a lot of it's just gut, man. It's just the will that everyone's healthy and everything's working out here. And if that were the case, give me a nail down, man. Pull off a big upset to finish that five-game run there at the tail end of the season. Kentucky with another big win. And optimistically, Mike, I'm telling you, brother, I think people are sleeping on the Kentucky Wildcats this year.
So I think you got 8-4?
8-4 is what I got Kentucky.
Whoa. Coach of the year?
Will Stein? Died when I said that. It's okay. Will Stein, you know, they won't give it to him because of some stupid, you know what I'm saying? But absolutely. If you can make Kentucky 8-4, beat teams like Tennessee, a top 20 Louisville at the end of the year, no reason you shouldn't be at least in the race of coach of the year.
Yeah. Hell, I think you got to give it to him at 8-4.
Yeah. No, I would, but they don't ask me. They're going to call these yahoos Norton.
Not yet.
See what they think.
All right. So you got 8-4. I got optimistically, I think 6-6. Mm-hmm. That's where I got it. So this might be the biggest difference we have on one of these. How about most important game, Shane? The three for me, I got number one. It sounds like you think I'm a little crazy here. I got Bama number one. Because I think we crown our damn coach if we can win that one. Now, again, if we lose it, does it destroy us? No, but they're already hyping themselves up for it. So give me that one. I just think that'll be, you know, for the future of the program. I mean, hell, we might get them a contract extension by week two. We beat Alabama. I got Carolina at Carolina, number two. Florida at home, number three. What would you say the most important games for Kentucky?
I go South Carolina, number one. It just feels to me kind of like a fork in the road. You potentially have two losses. You're sitting there at 2-2, mm-hmm. going into October. For us to have a successful year, forget eight wins. Just making a bowl game. This is a team you got to beat. So South Carolina on the road, I got number one. Number two, I got Florida with you. I feel like at home, you know, I say all those nice things about beating Tennessee, but, you know, there's a scenario you don't, and one loss becomes another loss. It becomes another loss. This feels like this November for you to get this momentum. You've got to get past Florida and Tennessee. So I'm going to go Florida and then Tennessee as the other one on the road. In that order.
Bold prediction from Cousin Derek. Kentucky finishes in the top 14.
Oh, that's big.
Of the big. SEC.
My 2.5 million, Mike.
All right, so confidence. Shane, scale 1 to 10.
Yes.
Take off him. Big blue goggles there. Confidence, mm-hmm. Kentucky, the over-under is 4.5. Confidence, Kentucky hits the over on a scale of 1 to 10.
8.9.
Wow.
It's up there. Very confident. This is one of my favorite bets on the board.
Perfect. I'm going to go bet against. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I'm sure they love to hear that, Shane. And I love to hear from old Mizzou fan number seven.
Hey, thank you, cuz.
He was giving us donations, but they were all very mean to Kentucky, so I didn't want to read them till the end. Kentucky sucks. I don't even know why you guys are doing a whole show on them. You should do a review on the top non-conference opponents SEC teams face this year instead. Steven, up again, we shouted him out. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Mizzou
thank
fan, you. Another one. Even after hearing all this, I still think Kentucky goes 5. They will be better. We will still be better than Arkansas, though. Kentucky will not win at Mizzou.
See, Mizzou's thinking the over as well. just said it the meanest way possible.
I think you're right, Shane. I think you are right. So Liquid, he gifted a membership, Shane. Yeah. I think I screenshotted that one. Hold on 1 second here. Yeah. He got one for Swiggity Swooty.
Oh, nice.
If that's your real name, that's a cool name. And then, of course, Mizzou Fed Shed gifted 20 memberships. Damn. So I got those screenshot. Give me a minute here. I got Cousin Danny, B Baller UK. He showed up for a good day. Cheesy Scrum, Darth Ducky. 3LA, Savannah Carter, Drew Benham, Colin Moore, Magic. Where's my table, Colin? Tyler Adams, Selena, Kyle Shaw, Edward Rand. And we had a couple more here. And John Red, Dustin Hale, Bullet Bath. Ooh, that's dangerous. Anthony Orman, Spotter Shelley, Stephen E., Alan Jones, Joel Fraggle.
Welcome to the family.
All right, buddy. Cuz. Anything else before we... And shout out, Cousin Jared. We appreciate you. Anything else, yeah, buddy?
No, man. It was like I said, it was great seeing everybody this weekend. It was great seeing you this weekend. If you haven't checked it out, again, quarterback rankings are up. So after you've hit this a thumbs up, you'll run over there and grab that one. That would be awesome. And, don't forget, man, media days right around the corner. We're going to be getting down there Sunday. We're lining up who we're going to talk to. We're going to be absolute low. So you got to keep those notifications on because I'm telling you, down there, it's so much content coming at you. And we've been doing a little bit better of kind of spacing it out. But at the end of each day, remember, we'll do a recap. We're going to do some more stuff behind the scenes while we're down there just so you can feel like you're down there with us. And I look forward to it, man. Look forward to hanging out with you, Mike, and seeing all the cousins down there.
And hopefully eat some good food.
Hell yeah.
All right, so that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate each and every one of you, and we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Cats!
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.